Let's pray to the Lord together. So, Father, we bring you ourselves and ask that you speak to us now as we reflect on these opening verses from Mark's Gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. It was the year 1865. It was a Monday morning, the 10th of April to be precise. In a small town in America, a lady called Caroline Richards was getting ready for the day ahead. And in her own words, this is what happened next. "We were quietly eating our breakfast this morning at about 7 o'clock when our church bell commenced to ring, then the Methodist bell, and now all the bells in town are ringing. Mr. Noah Clark, principal of the local boys' school, ran by, all excitement. No school today. I saw Captain Aldrich passing, so I rushed to the window and he waved his hat. I raised the window and asked him what was the matter. He came to the front door where I met him, and he almost shook my hand off and said, 'The war is over. We have Lee's surrender with his own name signed.' I am going downtown now to see for myself what is going on. Later, I have returned, and I never saw such performances in my life. Every man has a bell or a horn, and every girl a flag and a little bell. And everyone is tied with red, white, and blue ribbons. I'm going downtown again now, with my flag in one hand and bell in the other, and make all the noise I can." I just love reading that memory. You can feel the excitement at people hearing wonderful, wonderful good news. The American Civil War is over. Today we're beginning this series looking at Mark's Gospel. We're going to look at about a third of Mark up to the month of April. But Mark begins his Gospel with a similar announcement of good news. That's what this term, gospel, in verse 1 means. It means good news. And verse 1 tells us that the good news is all about a special person. It's there on page 1002. Take a look at it. Verse 1. "The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God." The implication is that we too should react with rejoicing, that we should tell others about it, making all the noise we can, the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So why is Jesus such good news? This morning in our passage we hear several different voices pointing to Jesus as the one who is gospel. Good news. And those voices tell us four important things about Jesus. I could say a lot about verse 1 with that title, Christ, which means King, Anointed One, and the Son of God. But let's begin by looking at verses 2 and 3. The voice of the prophets. They tell us that God, that Jesus comes to reveal God to us. Jesus comes to reveal God to us. That's our first point. Now there's actually two separate quotes from the Old Testament here. I know it says it's written in Isaiah the prophet, but we also have a quote from Malachi. Two quotes. Verse 2 comes from Malachi 3 verse 1, and verse 3 comes from Isaiah 40 verse 3, which was our Old Testament reading. But look at verse 2, this quote from Malachi. "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way." Well, who is the messenger? Well, we know it's going to be John the Baptist. Who is he preparing the way for? We know it's Jesus. Mark makes that quite clear. But if you go back and look at the original context and the original verse in Malachi, very interesting. It's God who is speaking. And what God actually says is, "See, I will send my messenger," who will be John the Baptist, "who will prepare the way before me." Me. who is John the Baptist preparing the way for? God himself. Wow, that must mean Jesus is God. Jesus comes to reveal God to us. Now then we come to verse 3 and this Isaiah quote. It comes from Isaiah chapter 40, our first Bible reading. Let me read again how the original text in Isaiah 40 puts it. The voice out in the wilderness cries out, "Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for who? Our God." A highway for our God. So this bloke out in the desert eating locusts and wild honey, John the Baptist, is getting people ready to meet God. Isaiah 40 verse 5 goes on to say, "The glory of the Lord will be revealed and all humankind together will see it." So in Jesus, God is coming. And Jesus will reveal the glory of the Lord to the whole world. So here we are. We're only 3 verses into Mark's Gospel. And it really is amazing news. Jesus comes to reveal God to us. Over the whole history of humankind, people have tried to search for God. Humans have an inbuilt instinct that there must be a God out there somewhere. When atheists try to tell us that this world is all that there is, well, most people want to despair. No, that can't be right. We feel inwardly that that cannot be the case. There must be a God out there. If only we could reach out and touch him. The good news we see today is that we don't have to try and reach out blindly into the darkness, because in Jesus, God comes to earth and touches us. Jesus makes God known to humanity. He reveals the glory of the Lord to the whole world. That's why spending time each Sunday, opening up our Bibles and looking at the words, is so important. We meet Jesus. It's why being a member of a home group, I know I go on about home groups, but it's where we spend time meeting our God. Want to meet God? Open up our Bibles. That's where he is. That's where Jesus is found. The Bible will feed our hunger for God, satisfy the human thirst to know God. So Jesus comes to reveal God to us. The good news gets even better though. Secondly, we see that Jesus comes to rescue us. Let me see this verse 3 onwards. So verse 3 is this quote from Isaiah 40. God is coming. But what's God coming to do? Well, a big theme of Isaiah 40 is that God is coming to rescue his people. And on first reading, you think God's coming to rescue his people from physically being exiled from the promised land. But Isaiah is also talking about the forgiveness of sins. That's how Isaiah 40 begins. And then, after this quote, back in Mark, in verse 4, John the Baptist picks up the theme. What's he about? He is out in the desert, baptizing people and preaching forgiveness. People are flocking to him as he stands in the River Jordan, and he baptizes them, saying, "You need to repent. You need to turn away from sin. And this water I'm baptizing you with is a symbol of cleansing, because you need to be rescued from your sin. You need to be cleansed from your sin if you're to be in the presence of the living God. The sin problem needs dealing with." That is how John is preparing people to meet God. But the water John knew, the water John used to baptize, he knew was only a symbol. It's only a picture of the cleansing. And we know that. Water only cleanses us on the outside. We need a deeper cleansing. And John says, yes, and the one who comes after me is the guy who's going to do that. I'm not worthy to even untie his shoelaces. I baptize with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Jesus comes to baptize with the Holy Spirit. Verse 7 and 8. This was John the Baptist's message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. As I say, water can only cleanse outwardly. Baptism with water can only ever be a symbol, but Jesus provides real cleansing to those who turn to him. When somebody turns to Jesus in faith, Jesus immediately forgives all their sins. He rescues us from our wrongdoing. He sends his Holy Spirit to begin a spring cleaning process, changing our hearts from being inclined towards sin to being inclined towards God and righteousness. Every Saturday at the moment, my elder son Dylan's been helping out at some stables. And you can imagine the state he comes back in. There is mud everywhere. His clothes need a jolly good clean. Now Dylan, being a teenage boy, of course, would quite happily just leave those clothes in a pile at the front door. And, well, he'd just leave them there. But left there by themselves, the clothes never get clean. They need to be taken to the washing machine. And only once are they clean can they be reintroduced to the rest of the house. And the same is true of us. We're like this muddy boy. And left, well, we're like that pile of clothes as well. Left to ourselves, they're not going to get clean. We need Jesus to clean us. And that's what he does. He baptizes us with the Spirit, so we can be restored to a relationship with God. Now, we've seen a couple of quotes from the Old Testament already. But, you know, the Old Testament really looked forward to this time of the Spirit with great expectation. This time when God would rescue his people from their sin. When he would bring people back into a restored, loving relationship with him. So Joel speaks about the Spirit being poured out on all types of people in the last days. Jeremiah talks about the law not being written on tablets of stone anymore, but being written on our hearts. Ezekiel talks about God getting rid of our hearts of stone, giving us hearts of flesh and putting his Spirit in us, so that we might be capable of knowing him personally and following him rather than rebelling against him. For real change to happen in a person's life, the Spirit of Jesus needs to be at work. It's the only way that true change can come about. But John says, the guy who comes after me, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So if we open up our lives, it means a changed life is possible. It's why this is gospel, good news. It's why Jesus is gospel. It's why it's so important for us to completely surrender everything to Jesus. There's no other way we can be cleansed from sin and put right with God and to live this new life by the Spirit he promises us. So we've seen Mark, the gospel writer, announced Jesus as the one who is good news. We've seen the prophets and John the Baptist announce Jesus as the one who comes to reveal God to us and as the one who comes to rescue us from our sin as he baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. Finally, we see God the Father himself making an announcement in verse 11. The Father says, as Jesus is baptized, "This is my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." The Father is delighted with his Son as he's baptized. And then the Holy Spirit leads Jesus off to be tempted in the wilderness. I could, of course, preach a whole sermon just on this section, but I just want to highlight one final astonishing thing from these verses. Verses 9 to 13. And that is, Jesus comes to identify with us. In fact, it's more than that. At the 9:30, I introduced the idea that Jesus is our champion. He's both. Jesus comes to identify with us. You see, Jesus comes along as a new type of human being. He's perfect, not like us. His Father loves him and is well pleased with him. Jesus is not led by a sinful nature, as we are. He's led by the Spirit of God. So why is Jesus baptized? He doesn't need to be cleansed from sin. No, he doesn't. And why does he get tempted in the desert? Well, he comes to identify with us, sinful, imperfect people, but then he goes out to show that sin can't affect him, all the devil's temptations can't affect him. So God in Jesus is able to relate to us and connect to us because he has become fully human. Jesus knows what it's like to be a person like you, like me. He knows what it's like to be tempted like you and like me. He can sympathize. He can relate to us. He can identify with us. He wants to identify with us. But he's a different type of human being, a new type of person. He doesn't succumb to temptation. And Jesus invites us to join him in this new humanity. This humanity with whom God the Father is well pleased. This new humanity that can be baptized with the Holy Spirit and can be led by the Holy Spirit, not by sinful desires. A new humanity that is in perfect relationship with God the Father. That's the invitation we have, to become a new type of person. A person like Jesus, sinless, righteousness, in perfect relationship with God, Father, Son and Spirit. And that's why Mark begins by saying it's good news. And why, looking ahead to verse 15, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe the good news. I hope you can see why it is such good news. It should make us want to celebrate with joy. Jesus has come to reveal God to us, to rescue us from sin and therefore death, the consequence of sin. He's come to change us as we're baptized by the Holy Spirit and remade into a new type of human being. Righteous people. People in perfect relationship with God. Now that is good news. How should we respond? Well, yes, by rejoicing and praising God and by looking to Jesus as the fullness of God's revelation. But also by looking to Jesus for our own rescue that we need from all that's wrong in our lives. By asking Jesus to baptize us with his Spirit, to change us into new people, good people, people who know God personally. People with whom God will say, you are my son, you are my daughter, and with you I am well pleased. This year, let us embrace fully that invitation. Let us pray. Jesus, just send your Spirit into our hearts. And Holy Spirit, we open our hearts to you. Help us to open our hearts to you and change us to be conformed to the image of the new humanity, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.